Well, the prevailing trial is upon us. Penultimate moment of the Rittenhouser trial, and I'm intentionally misstating that name because of Facebook, is about to happen. The next big argument, of course, is over jury instructions and what should the jury be told about what's going on and what they can consider, what they can't consider, all of those kinds of things. And expect your news feeds to be filled with accusations that the judge is screwing this up and that everything is bad and that Rittenhouser is going to get away with it. It's going to happen. The prevailing wisdom, of course, is that there's going to be an acquittal. The vast majority of my compatriots in this business are going on and on and on about the prosecution wanting a mistrial. And that's certainly a possibility. Certainly a possibility that he'll be acquitted. In fact, many observers would say that it's a probability. I'm not so sure, to be honest with you. I'm not on that bandwagon yet. We don't really know what's going to happen next. We know next to nothing about the jury, other than there has been at least one attempt to dox them. The left is horribly afraid that he's going to be acquitted, that Rittenhouser is going to be acquitted. And they've already made that attempt once to apparently dox the jurists, which could be a problem. But we don't really know anything about them. And we don't know what the instructions will be. We don't know what they will consider. And we don't know what preconceived notions, if any, they came with. And it's entirely possible, folks, given the political and emotional status of our country right now, it's entirely possible that they could convict out of sheer bloody-mindedness. I mean, you can argue about the self-defense and shooting the two guys anyway, three guys, whatever it was, two guys dead, one guy shot. You could argue about that all day long. But there's still the issue of why is a 17-year-old in Kenosha with an AR-15? I wouldn't sell the farm yet on the idea that he's going to be acquitted. I'm certainly of the opinion that he should be. I'm just not convinced that it's going to happen yet. Like my wife, I don't like to count on things until they actually happen. It is, however, instructive to us in many ways, what we have watched with the Rittenhouser trial. And again, I'm intentionally mispronouncing that. Facebook has decided to eliminate all mention of the trial, all mention of this whatsoever. You can, if you search for the trial and you spell it correctly, you will literally get nothing found. If you misspell it, you'll get everything that there is. But if you spell it correctly, Facebook has decided and has been doing this since early September to suppress it. It's a mistake. It's a stupid move by Facebook. Absolutely stupid. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's Facebook. They're stupid. That said, this, again, is instructive to us as conservatives, as people who are interested in constitutional republics, and the idea of the jury trial. The framers and the founders of this country believed in the jury trial as the best and last bulwark against government overreach. Many of the writings of the Anti-Federalists deal with the fact that the original Constitution, as written, did not secure the right to a jury trial. And this was seen as problematic. Remember, these people had come out of the revolution, the pre-revolutionary, they'd come out of the Star Trial issues. They'd come out of the idea of a king who could essentially control prosecutors, control juries, control the whole thing, and literally select where the jury was going to be chosen from. So instead of a local trial by a jury, it's not in the Constitution, of their peers, the king could literally have criminals shipped over to England, where people who didn't know facts, didn't know anything about culture, any of those kind of things, would be sitting in judgment with a prosecutor, with a defendant, 3,000-4,000 miles from home. The jury trial was seen as the greatest bulwark there was against the overreach of the government. And many times in our history, both as Englishmen and as Americans, we have seen the jury trial used to defeat government overreach. Today, however, we don't see it that way, do we? Today, we don't look at the right to a trial by jury as anything other than an inconvenience. Dave Barry, the great columnist, humor columnist, once wrote a column about a trial by having your trial done by people too stupid to get out of jury duty. As an employer for many years, one of the things I would regularly get from employees is, hey, I got a jury summons. Can you help me get out of it? Can you write me a letter or a note or something saying I can't be there? This attitude that we have that jury duty is something to be avoided is problematic. This was one of the most precious of the rights that the founders and framers fought for. And yet we treat it today like, if you weren't guilty, you wouldn't be there, right? That's the attitude. I have a lot of concerns about this. I have a lot of concerns about our justice system in general. And that's one of the biggest ones. A second concern that I have is that prosecutors have too much power, too much influence, and too much control over things. Prosecution is supposed to be difficult. It is supposed to be hard. Every advantage is supposed to go to the defense. Everyone. Even if you have a slam dunk case where you know the guy did it, you still have to give the benefit of the doubt, the presumption of innocence, to the accused. And yet that's totally the opposite of the way we do things now. Now, high profile prosecutors want their pictures in the paper. They want newspaper endorsements. They want to run for re-election. They want to get a better job at a different organization. And so everything becomes about image and image control, and everything becomes about how do I present this so that I look really good? And one way they do that is by the drive for the plea deal. And so they intimidate, they threaten, they push to get plea deals. And so plea deals are great for prosecutors because they get a win. My conviction rate goes up, but I didn't have to go sit in front of a jury and explain why I was right. And more we've seen this with plea deals. How many of the January 6th trials have you seen? How many of them are plea deals versus actual sit in front of a jury and actually explain what the hell this is all about cases? This is presented by the prosecutors, district attorneys in particular, as conviction rates. Oh, my conviction rate was 98%, 96%. Oh, my conviction rate was really high. We're doing a great job fighting crime, see? And all this becomes problematic to me because, again, are we just running over people's rights? Because the jury trial is supposed to be the last bulwark against the government's overreach. What if the government really doesn't have a case? If they don't really have a case, why are they, if they have a case, if it's so slam dunk, why are they afraid to go to trial? Why are they afraid to do these things? Some years ago in Modesto, we had a murder case. And I have my opinions about the case. I have my opinions about the defendant. And I will tell you that many of my friends do not share my opinions about this. My opinion of the Frank Carson case is that Frank Carson was guilty as sin. That's my opinion. I cannot prove that in a court of law. I read every page, every word of the indictment. I believe wholeheartedly that Frank Carson was up to his furry neck in that murder. I have no doubt of it. I don't stay awake at night going, I wonder if maybe Frank wasn't really guilty. Frank Carson was a sleazebag. He was a defense attorney. But I'll tell you this, and I said it at the time on the air. If I was accused of a crime in this county, I'd hire Frank Carson as my defense attorney because he was that good at messing with the prosecution. And for those of you who know the case, you know the story of the case. Frank Carson constantly was accusing the prosecution, the district attorney's office in Stanislaus County, of being corrupt and doing things. And in Frank's case, in the murder case against him, many of those same things that he accused the Stanislaus County DA's office of became evident. Evidence that should have been turned over on discovery wasn't. Things were done incorrectly. Things were done sloppily. And it should have been, ultimately he won the case because he was acquitted because not because the evidence didn't show that he was doing it, but because the prosecution team was so bad and they couldn't force a plea deal. And so they had to go to trial. They had to present this case, and they screwed it up badly. They screwed up badly. Heads should have rolled, but didn't. To this day, I can't figure out why. People should have been fired. People should have been unelected, if not recalled. And to this day, nothing's changed. Not because they're bad people, but because they screwed it up so bad. This is what happens when prosecutors have too much power, too much control, too much influence, and too much determination to get a conviction no matter what. They're pushing so hard for the conviction that the rules go out the window. They're pushing so hard for the conviction that they want to control things to the degree that, you know, if we just get a plea deal, then we don't have to take this marginal case in front of the jury. The jury trial becomes too inconvenient. Some have even suggested, by the way, this is something that I've heard before, why don't we just hire professional jurists? Why don't we just make professional juries? I couldn't think of a worse idea. I really couldn't. A professional jury? Who's paying the professional jury? If they're professionals, they're being paid. Who's paying them? Oh, the government. But the jury is supposed to be a bulwark against the government. Now you're going to pay them. The whole point of the jury is to be that last best bulwark. And this Ritterhauser trial is, well, it's the best, and it's certainly the latest example. The prosecution in this case has from the beginning, has had a weak case. And I don't really care where you stand on the Rittenhouser thing, but the case itself is weak. The case for murder is virtually non-existent. But politics and culture have pushed this to the point where they have to do it. There's an underlying problem here, too, that very few people are talking about. We'll get to it here in a second. But the case is going so badly. I mean, you've probably heard this if you're on news, social media. Well, maybe not the news, because my local news, all they're telling me is how apologetic Kyle Rittenhouser is and blah, blah, blah. But if you're following the trial in any kind of real time at all, you know that the prosecution is floundering. And that may be a charitable description. They are not doing well. They were chastised roundly day before yesterday, I think, over committing one of the most egregious, outrageous violations of a defendant's rights I think I've ever seen. Now, I'm told by people that have gone to trials that this happens almost every time that a prosecution gets in trouble and they want to force a mistrial. This is one of the tactics that they use, which is to invoke the defendant's refusal to speak under the Miranda rights. Remember, when you're arrested, you get your Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. And one of the basic ideas of law 101 in this country is that you cannot use that against a client. You can't get the client on the stand and then go the defendant on the stand and then go, well, you refuse to talk to the police. That means you have something to hide. That's a violation in the invoking of a constitutional right to remain silent. Well, these prosecutors did that, and they just got absolutely blasted by the judge the other day. And the only reason to do that, again, if you're a high-profile prosecutor who's hoping for a better job, re-election, all those kinds of things, you know this. So the only you can't possibly reasonably conclude that he did this for any other reason other than on purpose. Period. He's looking for a mistrial, and according to most commentators at this point, he thinks that will protect his CV, his curriculum vitae, his resume. He thinks that way, when they go to look at the trial in the database, it'll show a mistrial, not a defeat. I think that's an error. I don't think that's going to hold up, because this isn't Podunk team versus city of Podunk, you know, Wisconsin. This is the Rittenhouser trial. This is front page news around the country, and everybody's going to know that. And when they see that it was a mistrial, everybody's going to know why it was a mistrial, because you intentionally screwed it up. I don't think that idea that he's trying to protect his CV holds water. I don't know what he's really trying to do. Maybe get fired. I don't know. Because then he can go and write a book about how, you know, I got forced into this case and it clearly wasn't a case. And I mean, you'd buy that book. Conservatives everywhere would buy a book by a former prosecutor who was furious about being forced to try Kyle Rittenhouser, the hero. He's going to make money on it. So I'm not convinced that that's the case. But there is a problem here. And that problem is that jury. We don't know what they saw. We don't know what they heard. We don't know what they're thinking. the prosecution knows that he doesn't have the O.J. Simpson jury. He knows that. But what if he did? I mean, can you imagine how this trial would be going if you had the same 12 O.J. Simpson jurors? Who knows what's going to happen in that jury room? And it's problematic in a lot of ways, and it's concerning in a lot of ways. The jury, the lesson of all this is that the jury is the last and best bulwark against government overreach, which is why I think they are pushing so hard for plea deals on January 6th. They know that if that goes to trial, and if conservatives particularly and rational people stand up and go, I'm not going to just get out of jury duty. I'm going to actually do my duty as a citizen of this country, as a virtuous citizen. I'm going to sit on that jury, regardless of what it costs me to stand up against the government. They know that many of those cases would be losses, but they're getting wins because they're getting plea deals. You can look for in the future, the very near future, you can look for new laws to be proposed. I guarantee you this is coming. They're probably already working on these if they haven't already announced them. There will be new laws announced that make prosecution of future self-defense cases easier. That they're going to change the rules about self-defense. You watch it. The idea of being acquitted, however, is problematic. If Rittenhouser gets acquitted, that's very dangerous to Antifa and BLM. You understand that? Antifa and BLM, this whole, you know, it's the dead of winter right now, but when spring and summer roll around again and the riots start up again, their entire functionality is based on the fact that nobody will stand up to them. And if people will now stand up to them, it's dangerous to them. As they see it, a Rittenhouser acquittal essentially makes it open season on them. Now, it doesn't, and I get that, but that's how they're going to present it. You watch. There will be articles about it. If he's acquitted that say, well, now any nut job conservative with an AR-15 is going to start showing up at BLM rallies and shooting black people. You watch. It's coming. But the most important lesson to this is for us. Stop trying to get out of jury duty. Stop it. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's a pain in the ass. I know it sucks. But what sucks more? Giving up our republic, giving up our liberties, giving in to a voracious, overreaching, evil government so that you could, you know, have an afternoon or a few days of whatever it is that you're doing? All I'm saying to you is the people that built this country, the people that founded this country, the people that framed our government believed that the jury was so important that it had to be enshrined in the Bill of Rights, that it was part of our complaint in the Declaration of Independence. So the next time that jury summons appears in your mailbox, think about this trial, the Rittenhouser trial. Think about it real hard before you send that thing back going, oh, I can't do it. It's too inconvenient for me. And then think about those men at Valley Forge and those men at Rhode Island, all those people that sacrificed so that you could have the right to a trial by jury. And ask yourself, do I really need to get out of this? Or is there a reason? Because many of you I know are Christians and you believe everything happens for a reason. Maybe there's a reason why I need to be there. Maybe the difference between government overreach and government tyranny is you.